On this Sunday before Palm Sunday, we continue the series on the cost of discipleship, what it means to follow Jesus. And this morning, we focus on the importance of sacrifice. As you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn with me to the 14th chapter of Luke's Gospel. I want us to focus on verse 33, but for the purposes of context, I'll begin reading with verse 25. Large crowds were traveling with Jesus, and turning to them, he said, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, his wife and children, his brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. And anyone who does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Will he not first sit down and estimate the cost to see if he has enough money to complete it? For if he lays the foundation and is not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule him, saying, 'This fellow began to build and was not able to finish.' Or suppose a king is about to go to war against another king. Will he not first sit down and consider whether he is able with 10,000 men to oppose the one coming against him with 20,000? If he is not able, he will send a delegation while the other is still a long way off, and he will ask for terms of peace. In the same way, any of you who does not give up everything he has cannot be my disciple." May God add his blessings to this, the reading of his word. For those of you who are into spring cleaning, you know, where you sort of go through the house and the closets and you begin to look at everything and assess whether or not you really need to hold on to that stuff, I would encourage you to check out the book or the website by Christian author Dave Bruno, called the 100 Thing Challenge. Not the 100 Day Challenge, the 100 Thing Challenge. It is an account of Bruno's own story. Several years ago, he found himself on what he called the treadmill of American consumerism, where we sort of buy in to what everyone around us tells us that we should be doing in order to be happy, in order to be content, in order for your life to be full, then you have to continue to take on more and more stuff, consume as much as you can. Bruno found that he was literally feeling overwhelmed by all of the stuff that he owned. He had come to the place in his life where he began to realize that it wasn't so much that he owned stuff, but that the stuff that he owned actually owned him. Have you ever felt like you were in that place in life? The stuff that you own has suddenly come to own you. And so Bruno said, "I'm just going to get rid of it." And so over the course of a year, he whittled down all of his belongings to 100 things and found that in the course of making those what were at times difficult sacrifices. Do I keep this? Do I hold on to this? Do I let this go? Do I retain this? In the course of making those difficult sacrifices, he found himself able to escape what he called the treadmill of American consumerism, so that his life had space, so that he could take on things that, in his words, were ultimate and eternal. Now remember, Bruno is a confessing Christian. And so this notion of sacrifice and letting go of stuff in order to have room in your life, space in your soul for that which is ultimate and eternal. You know where he got that idea. Bruno got that idea from taking seriously and appropriating the teachings of Jesus, teachings such as the one that is before us this morning from Luke's gospel. Luke tells us that at this point in the Jesus story, Jesus and his disciples making their way steadfastly to Jerusalem. And of course, we know why Jesus was moving toward the holy city. He was moving toward Jerusalem because the cross was on the horizon. The time was drawing near for Jesus to make the ultimate sacrifice, to bear the cross for the sins of the world. And as these large crowds had joined Jesus and his disciples, Jesus saw the need to offer them a second set of teachings on discipleship that would help them to understand what is required of those who would follow Jesus all the way. These teachings are difficult teachings, are they not? Hating father and mother, children and own life. In typical rabbinic fashion, Jesus was using hyperbole, exaggeration as a way of emphasizing the serious nature of the sacrifice that is involved in following after Jesus. He uses teachings regarding careful consideration, taking the time to ponder what is at stake, the building of a tower, a general who is going into war, making sure that he has enough troops who have enough courage to be able to win the battle. Otherwise, you look for ways to strike terms of peace. Serious reflection, careful consideration. All of these teachings moving toward that 33rd verse that I said I wanted to emphasize today. In the same way, Jesus says, to the large crowds, only those who are willing to part with everything they have. Only those who are willing to make the ultimate sacrifice, only they can become my disciple. It's a heart teaching for those of us who like to keep our options open. You know, how many of us receive these invitations to attend events and parties and celebrations, and there's always that RSVP that is expected of us, but you know how we often respond. We're not so quick to make an immediate response. We'll first think about it. And we'll ask ourselves the question, now, do I have anything else going on? Is there anything better that may be coming down the way? We are a people who like to keep our options open, and so this notion of making a hard sacrifice with everything that we have, all that we are, it's difficult for us to say yes to an invitation like that. Understand that as a preacher, I'm not picking on you as a congregation by suggesting that you would not be willing to live into such a hard teaching as this. I want you to understand it's difficult for me too, because obviously, as a leader of a congregation, I want to make sure that we have as many people joining with us as we possibly can. I don't want to scare people away by saying to folk that unless you are willing to give up everything in this day and age, do you think that is a message that will pack the pews? It's hard for me to proclaim it. And yet, Jesus gave it. He taught it. He commanded it. So I must speak it, and we must find a way to live into it together as a community of faith. How then might we do that? Perhaps by understanding that the notion of sacrifice, which has come to be in many ways a taboo word in our prevailing culture, is in fact a practice that we enter into on a regular basis. For example, there are many of you young parents who with your children are involved in travel teams throughout the year. I remember when travel teams began to form, I was a relatively young parent. My son was active in sports. I chased my son across the Southeast like many of you young parents are doing even today. It cost me time. It cost me money. It required of me a great deal of sacrifice, and yet, like you, I was willing to do it because I thought that it was in the best interest of my son. And the fact of the matter is that there was so very much that he gained from his experiences playing baseball all over the Southeast. There's some of you here this morning who are in jobs that, well, how can I put it? You don't really love. You really don't love your job. But come tomorrow morning, you're going to crawl out of bed and you're going to get dressed and you're going to go down and you're going to do that job all over again until perhaps you can find a job more to your liking. It's a sacrifice that you make. But why do you make it? Because you want to make the ends meet. You want to be able to provide for your family. You want to be able to enjoy the things in life that working at a job and receiving compensation for that job requires. And so you're going to get up, you're going to make the sacrifice, even though it's not something that you really are looking forward to doing. You're going to do it because you know it's in your best interest, it's in the best interest of your family. We have young people this morning who in this Mountain Brook community understand the importance of a good education. And you realize that in order to excel in the classroom, you can't fake your way through it. You understand that you have to commit yourself to intense study and consideration and reflection, and you can't just show up every day, especially on test day, and offer the kind of performance that will make sure that that you do well in the classroom, because you know that the quality of your education depends on the sacrifices that you make in order to be able to receive the grades that will allow you to flourish as you move into adulthood. You see the point I'm making. Our culture tells us that no one should ever think about sacrificing anything, when the fact of the matter is we already understand that in order to gain anything that has any value, sacrifice is required of every person in some way. Why then do we shirk from the demands of the gospel? My fear is that in our desire to make the faith as easy and as comfortable and as convenient as we possibly can in this day and age, we say to people, come and be a part of our community of faith, these followers of Jesus. We're not going to expect anything from you. And because we live in a day when, in fact, people have become accustomed to making sacrifices for things that ultimately matter, the message that we're sending is that following Jesus doesn't matter as much as travel ball or your job or getting a good education. And as a result, what has happened in the last 25 years, levels of participation in the church have gone from a plateau to a gentle decline to where now there are many congregations that attendance-wise are in free fall, because they have failed to speak clearly, plainly, honestly, truthfully to astonishing teachings from Jesus, such as the one that is before us this morning, unless you are willing to part with everything. You cannot be my disciple. Hear me carefully. I'm not suggesting this morning that following Jesus is just one more thing that you have to offer and do and place on your to-do list. What I am suggesting is that following Jesus is the most important thing. And that in order to be the kind of disciple that Jesus wants you to be, in order to experience the fullness of life that Jesus wants you to know, you may have to undo some things in order to be able to give your life, your heart, your soul fully and completely in following after Jesus. And all you need to understand is what you stand to gain in following Jesus is worth far, far more than anything you might be asked to part with. That's what Jesus is saying. Fred Craddock has always been one of my favorite preachers. He died a couple of years ago. He was a teacher of preachers. He taught at Emory over in Atlanta, the Candler School of Theology, for most of his career. Has great stories. He just told the greatest stories, and I've shared some of them with you. One of his stories had to do with a seminary classmate of his out in Oklahoma, where Craddock was from and attended seminary. His seminary classmate, after graduation, decided to go to the mission field and felt called to China. This was in the years before the Cultural Revolution and Protestant denominations, Southern Baptist and other evangelical denominations were most active in the country of China. Craddock's classmate went there and had this great ministry for a number of years. And then Mao rose to power. The Cultural Revolution took place. Western missionaries were being sent out of the country. Sure enough, Craddock says, one day the police, the authorities, came to his home to tell him and his wife and their two children that they would have to return to America immediately. And the classmate protested, "Well, we don't have any time. What? How can we leave? What? You've just come and told us you must leave the next morning." The authorities said, "You can take 200 pounds home with you, nothing more, 200 pounds. So they had literally 12 hours to determine after a number of years, what do they take? What do they leave behind? You talk about a 100-thing challenge. What about this vase that we bought in China? We can't leave that behind. What about the books? I mean, the books that I've used in my ministry, I can't leave those behind. And husband, wife, two children, you can imagine the conversation that the family had over what they would be able to take on their return to America, what they would have to leave behind. They dickered, they argued, they chose, they weighed. They took stuff off. They put stuff on. They took stuff off. Finally, to the pound, 200 pounds. And they were set. The next day, the authorities came. And one of them said, "Did you weigh everything?" "Yes, we've weighed everything, 200 pounds. "Did you weigh your children?" "No, we didn't weigh our children." "Then you'd better weigh your children." And the missionary said, all of a sudden, vase and books and pictures, it all was trash. It all was trash. It was the 13th century mystic Meister Eckhart who said that we find God in the soul not by addition, but through subtraction. In other words, it's what we give up that allows us to have space in our hearts for God to be present. It may be 100 things that you need to give up for God to be present. It may be a whole lot more. But whatever you give up will be more than worth it because of what you'll gain. The joy of God's salvation, the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit, the abundance of eternal life that Jesus came to bring. What you will gain will be much more than you ever thought possible when you surrender all to let Jesus, perhaps for the first time, become all in you.